On this Sunday, not only do we celebrate the last Sunday of August, of course, tomorrow in America is Labor Day. And of course, we need to remember to pray to St. Joseph, who is the patron saint of workers and of labor, that he may bless our labors. There's many works that we still have yet to accomplish. But in the meantime, we have these wonderful words of our Lord having to do with this Good Samaritan. And we see what happens. A priest from the temple sees the poor man that had been beaten up and almost stripped naked. And he runs by him. It's not that he doesn't care. Maybe he doesn't. We don't know. We will not judge him. Our Lord has already judged him. But he doesn't have time. He needs to hurry up to get to the temple to do his service. And of course, that is why sometimes why being on time is very important. If there is something that happens that is more important, then we should take the time. And then, even if we're a little late, we're still there. And I'm not saying that you should be late. But there is a hierarchy of things. Charity is the most important of all. Humility, too, with it. Then a Levite, which would have been a deacon, like Father Deacon Tanka. He's a Levite. In a few months, he will be a priest. But right now, he's a Levite. And he also is in a hurry to get to the temple. He's like one of the acolytes who has to make sure he's on time or else the priest is going to get after him. And so he sees him and he says, oh, well, somebody else will take care of him. And our Lord is teaching us very, very important lessons here, by the way. We need to think about it, meditate, pray about it. And then, no surprise at all regarding our Lord, who, though himself a Pharisee, nevertheless likes to prick the Pharisees every so often, a little bit softer or harder. And so he says, well, at that point, the poor man is laying there, agonizing. At that point, a Samaritan comes. You know, Samaritans. They're people that were unclean. The Jews were not allowed to speak to them. They were not even allowed to talk to them. It reminds me, of course, you know, a lot of people think they know everything about the church and the history, and St. Pius X, whom they almost worship. You don't worship any man, even if he is a saint. But St. Pius X, when he renewed some of the excommunications in the end of the 18th century, or 19th century, and beginning of the 20th century, he reminded the faithful and the clergy that there was a couple of particular excommunications that were intact. I don't think they exist anymore. Not too many people are excommunicated unless they're traditional nowadays. But this particular type of excommunication was so severe that if a Catholic talked to this person, they too would be excommunicated. You could not talk to them, you could not look at them, you crossed the street. There was an old song way back when some of you were younger, long before my time, but it was a song saying, if you don't happen to like me, pass me by. Well, that's what you're supposed to do with this type of excommunication. Such it was for the Jews and the Samaritans. And of course, our Lord was trying to show them what was more important. So the Samaritan takes pity on this poor man, who undoubtedly is also a Jew, not a Samaritan. And So the priest and the Levite pass their own person, their own kind by. The Samaritan does not. And he takes care of him. He pours oil. And of course we have, even to this day, in the sacraments, in the sacrament of baptism, confirmation, and the anointing of the sick, which is incorrectly named extreme unction. Extreme unction is the last one before you die. And you can receive this sacrament, as you can communion and confession, many times in your life. And so, he pours the oil and then wine. Who knows, maybe he poured the wine in his mouth to help him heal, like an anesthetic of sorts. And so, he takes care of him, he puts him on his mount, probably a mule, and he takes him to the nearest inn, and he takes him down and turns him over to the innkeeper and says, please take care of him and I will return in a day or two. And he gave him 2 denarii, like giving him $200. He says, if you spend any more than this, I will pay you when I return. I mean, that's charity, that you also even take up your own substance and give it to the person who is in need. And then he goes on his way. And of course, we know that when he returned, he would repay the innkeeper. But that is charity, extreme amount of charity. And so, our Lord teaches us how we are to behave. And we are and we do. And so we give thanks to God for this parable of the Good Samaritan. It has become so much part of our Christian culture, especially in Anglophile countries like America, Canada, England, and so forth, that there are laws that are called Samaritan laws, that if anyone assists anyone, they cannot be sued in case there is some kind of injury or something. Not everybody is a doctor. And so this is part and parcel of our culture, and is part and parcel of our religion. Now, in the meantime, today also we have a couple of other occasions. First of all, it is my feast, the feast of Saint Ramon Nonnatus. Nonnatus means not born. He was born in the beginning of the 13th century, I believe. His mother, he had other brothers and sisters, they're not named. His mother, when he was being born, died. And this happens, and it used to happen a lot more, but it still happens. And so, before he was born, so the doctors cut her womb open and extricated him from the womb. And as a result, he was not born. He was extricated from the womb of his dead mother. And this is what's called cesarean section. And the first person about whom we know that this was performed for was Julius Caesar. And as a result, it's called cesarean section because of Julius Caesar. So that is how St. Raymond Nonnatus, not born, came into the world. Eventually, he became a member of the Mercedarian Order of Our Lady of Mercy, or Our Lady of Ransom. And they have a fourth vow, even today. Their main reason was to retrieve and save all the Catholics that were being taken prisoner and slaves by the Muslims. And so that's why the colic for St. Raymond's Mass, which we chanted, speaks about the infidels, because that is what they were called. Some of us still call them that, but we have to be careful. You know? This is the age of ecumenism. But anyway, the fourth vow was, if You ran out of money, and there were still prisoners, Christian prisoners there. You were supposed to surrender yourself until, and free the Christian prisoners until you yourself could be ransomed, which that's why Our Lady ransomed. And so he did. In the meantime, that did not stop him. He was very, very vocal, and he preached and preached and preached. It's a good thing my mother named him after him, because I almost died. I was born by cesarean section and all that. And of course, I remember telling you, some of you may say, oh, not again, but that's too bad, I don't care. When I was born, my mother was under anesthesia, and one of the doctors, my uncle, my godfather, who was a doctor, he was there and he told me about it. And one of the doctors said, we need to undo her tubes and tie them so she can never have any more children, because she will not survive. And my mother came out of the anesthesia and told the doctor, don't you dare touch me. I am a Catholic. So, I mean, I have good antecedents. People who have the strength of the faith. So too St. Raymond. So St. Raymond in prison, he converted many Muslims, including many of the guards and jailers. So the Sultan got very mad at him, and he had his lips pierced so that a padlock could be put on his lips so that it would be undone only at mealtimes, which was once a day. Very poor meals, probably some grovel that they gave him. And so they tortured him terrifically. He was liberated, he was ransomed, and he came back to Spain. And he was born in a little town near Barcelona, in Catalonia. And at that point, the Holy Father, recognizing his merit and his heroicity for the faith, made him a cardinal. And St. Raymond was on his way to get the cardinal's hat from the Pope. And of course, in those days, they wore the magnificent galero, which is huge, beautiful. In many cathedrals, you still see them hanging. And when a cardinal dies, their galero is hung from the ceiling. Of course, now that's done away with. Hopefully, Leo will restore it. And he went to get this, but never made it. He died on the way. But nevertheless, he was canonized. And he is a patron saint of difficult deliveries, difficult births, and of mothers who are expecting. Today, too, I didn't study about him, but I saw his name in the list of saints for today, and one of our acolytes has his name. Today is the feast of St. Aidan of Lindisfarne. So we congratulate Aidan on his feast day. And we give thanks to God that we are Catholic, that we have the saints, the communion of saints, millions of saints. In addition, after Mass, we will have something that is very rare. Yes. Very rare. And that is a betrothal ceremony. So I want you to stay. After the betrothal ceremony, I will bless everyone here with the first-class relic of St. Raymond Nonnatus, which is on the altar, but I will do it from the altar for everybody. I will not do it the old way that everybody kisses it. We are undergoing the plandemic China flu again, so we don't want to catch anything. So I will bless everyone from that. And last but not least, this is being recorded, by the way, so you can listen to it later. We have a very special visit today from two of our former parishioners who are still benefactors to our parish, Mr. and Mrs. Stephen and Brandy Katona. Now, I married them about 25 years ago. I think it was 1999 or 2000. Either way, it was the last of that year. And I baptized Mrs. Katona Brandy. Of course, I was telling the boys in the sacristy, actually, her name is one of my favorite things, Brandy. But anyway, so she's here. She's baptized by me that many years ago, and they're here to visit and to worship with us. And of course, we pray for them because we always pray for all our parishioners who are present or absent. So we thank God that they're here and that we're still alive. And of course, I was only 4 when I did this, because I'm 29 now. So nevertheless, they are here, and we will see them after Mass, maybe in the hall. So let us give thanks to God for all good things. In particular, we pray for all those who work, and we pray to St. Joseph the worker, for all those who work. Remember, pride, uncharitableness, and sloth are among the worst sins, and they will send you to hell if you don't get rid of them. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.